Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Thank you very much for joining us. We'll talk some college basketball now with Jarrett Sutton. You can follow him on Twitter. Jarrett T. Sutton is his handle. NBA scout and color commentator for SEC Network and formerly a player for the Missouri Tigers. Jarrett, good morning. How are you?
I'm good, Steven. How are you doing?
Doing very well. Thank you.
Feeling better?
Now that you're here, I am.
Okay, good.
Feeling
good.
A lot better. You've dramatically improved my mood now. Jake was in there. Look at Jake.
I know. He living the dream.
He was trying to put up with me for the first 2 hours, and he did it. Nice job, Jake.
Oh, today's easy.
Now you can pass the baton to Jared Sutton.
We were coordinating possibly our Denver meeting up in Denver.
Right.
When are you going to Denver? When do you leave?
I'm going to the bowl game, so I'm leaving the day after the bowl game,
right?
Which I think is the 28th, if I'm not mistaken. So, be out in Denver and going to try to catch the Chiefs and Broncos, possibly the Patrick Mahomes.
Oh, we'll see.
We'll see.
Jake, when do you go to Denver?
I think I'm leaving either Friday the 29th or Saturday morning the 30th.
Leave Saturday morning the 30th.
Why?
Because I have something, if you're in town, something somewhere for you to go Friday the 29th.
Okay. I'm not working that day.
Right.
So, but if there's something going on.
We'll do a little get-together for Richie St. John's 21st birthday.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
So I'd love you to be there.
So we're leaving the 30th.
There you go. Nice. I was going to mention that to you, but I forgot you're going to Denver. But
it's all good.
If you can make it Friday the 29th, that would be wonderful.
Done.
That'd be great.
So I'll be leaving Saturday the 30th.
I can't believe I got a kid that's going to be 21.
That's crazy.
Oh, boy.
It's crazy to me.
Yeah, Mike White over there. Crazy. Old balls, what we call him.
That's exactly right. By the way, Jake, programming note, Sicario, which is a movie that I loved with Josh Brolin and Benicio del Toro, they have dropped the trailer for Sicario 2 with Benicio del Toro.
I didn't even know they're doing it.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
So go ahead if you want to. We can wait to the commercial break. Josh Brolin, everyone's coming back. They said it's going to be bigger and better, so we can watch that trailer and geek out.
Oh.
That was a great movie.
It was.
Pops loved it. Everyone loved that movie.
Well,
all right.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen Sicario?
I have not.
Watch it.
Okay.
Very, very good.
I like how they go about their business.
Well, you know, it's a whole different deal. but, I mean, what a cast was in that. Benicio del Toro, Josh Brolin, Catherine Keener. It was a great. Was Catherine Keener in the first one? She's in the second one. I don't think she's in the first one, was she? Emily Blunt was in the first one. John Bernthal. It was an awesome movie. And so Catherine Keener's in the second one. Anyway, let's talk some college basketball. Mizzou tonight has, I think, an interesting challenge on their hands. They have two games left in the non-con before they start conference play at South Carolina. And we all know what the next game is, the bragging rights game against Illinois on Saturday night. But I don't want to say nervous. I'm a little apprehensive about tonight's game.
It's not Green Bay. It's not North Florida.
Right. It's Stephen F. Austin. And we've become aware of Stephen F. Austin when Brad Underwood was there and had them in the tournament for three straight years, and we saw them beat Bob Huggins in West Virginia in the tournament 2 years ago. Last year, they didn't make the tournament. But Stephen F. Austin, you've got players on this basketball team that have won a lot of games. Mm-hmm. Going back to Brad Underwood's 3 years there, they won 32, 29, and 28 games. Last year, under Kyle Keller in his first year, they were 18 and 15. This year, they're 10-1. Their only loss was at Mississippi State. They lost by 5. But then over the weekend, they had a one-point win at LSU. I don't think LSU is as good as Mizzou, but the point is Stephen F. Austin is not going to be intimidated going on the road to play at an SEC school because this is a team that has had a lot of success not only this year but in the past several seasons. And so a 10-1 team that's won a lot of basketball over the past couple of years that is coming off a win at an SEC school, this is not a team that Missouri can look past, can overlook, because they've got this game coming up on Saturday, and just because Missouri has been very successful so far at Mizzou Arena, they need to focus on tonight. And you tell me this, with a young team, young players, Jeremiah Tillman, all these kids that want to play, I mean, probably him more than anyone because he was committed to Illinois at one point, that want to get this game going against Illinois in the bragging rights game, how hard is it for an 18-year-old kid or a 19-year-old kid not to look past this game against Stephen F. Austin?
Well, so it's good that a guy like Jeremiah Tillman has not played in the Bragging Rights game yet, because I can remember being a freshman and everybody tells you about the Bragging Rights game and how much fun it is, and it's exciting around the holidays. They pack Scott Trade Center. So I think it's good that he's not played in that game yet, and it's good for the coaching staff, given that it's their first year. And I know Konzo knows all about the Bragging Rights game, but they got to focus in on tonight, and they got to come ready to play, because Stephen F. Austin's won 6 in a row. They're a tough team. They're going to come in fearless. They've already played in 2 SEC environments. They've won one of those games. The Mississippi State game, they had a lead, gave up that lead. This game, to me, tonight, is going to have to be a vintage Missouri basketball-type game that I think the identity of this basketball program is, which is toughness, defense, and rebounding.
Offensive rebound especially.
Especially, yeah. So those three areas, they're going to have to win the paint. They're going to have Jeremiah play well. They're going to have Jonte play well. And Jordan Barnett has been, double-double in his last game. Yeah, he's playing really well. I think he's averaging something like 18 points a game in his last 4 or 5 games. He's got to continue to keep the foot on the gas pedal. He's an important player in this game. I'd like to see Cassius get some confidence, hit his outside shot, kind of build. And then you take that to the Bragging Rights game, but you cannot look past tonight because this is a good team. They got 3 guys that average double figures. I think it's Kanate against LSU had 20, and he comes off the bench at times. He started a couple games. So they got some weapons, and so for Missouri, this is gonna be a tough matchup. It's not gonna be a walk in the park. And this team, the Stephen F. Austin team, they force turnovers. So guard play is gonna be really important to take care of the basketball, particularly late. I would expect Missouri to see pressure, to see some full court press, and hopefully Blake and Jordan Geis can attack that, and they can get some easy options and easy looks at the basket.
But this is a game where Missouri needs to pound the basketball into the paint, and
absolutely,
they need to dominate the boards, right?
Absolutely.
This rebounding is going to be key.
And they can't have dumb fouls either. Jeremiah's been really good in that area. Jonte, I think Purrier, they've done a nice job staying out of foul trouble. So defensively, continue to bring the hard at, continue to bring the toughness. But you can't pick up cheap fouls, especially early. And that's going to be important, too, I think, is in these games against Green Bay and North Florida. You know, they've built leads. They've struggled early on, I guess, a little bit. But then they have those moments where they go on long runs. They get consecutive stops. They start making shots. They start playing fast in transition, trusting each other, making the easy play and not the home run play. That's still going to be important, too, is starting this game fast, closing half strong, which what they've done. And I think that's been good, is they've put teams away that they're supposed to put away. And now you look and you look ahead at what's down the pipeline for their schedule. It starts now, because they need to play this game like it's going to be an SEC game, because Illinois is next, and then they start league play with South Carolina on the road. So it starts now. Now is when you change the mindset of, okay, we've taken care of what we need to take care of. We've won the home games. We've protected the home turf. But now it's going to start picking up. And now the competition, and you got to be ready for that, because, you know, it's easy to get punched in the mouth after you've played teams that you know you're supposed to beat, that you've had comfortable wins. It's easy to start flat in games. They got to come with the intensity and come with that energy to start games, and it's got to start right now with Stephen F. Austin.
Okay, so against North Florida, you talk about guard play being important tonight. It's going to continue to be a story for this basketball team, how the point guard position develops. Blake Harris had 7 assists and 1 turnover in 20 minutes. In the game against North Florida. And when you look at the other options, I mean, Jordan Geist he's been good. I think he's been a lot better than some people expected him to be. And it's clear that Konzo Martin likes him and likes his attitude, mm-hmm, and likes his aggressive style. Any coach would like Geist. I mean, he seems like a guy that could have played for Norm Stewart,
yep,
several decades ago, and everyone would have loved him.
Mm-hmm. No ego.
Are you seeing from Blake Harris what you were wanting to see against these easier teams, this lesser competition in the non-con?
Yeah, so I go back to the game I called against Emporia State, where he looked really good in that game. And he was, you know, in these type of games, you know, no offense to the opponents, but Blake's the better athlete. He's faster. He's quicker. He can break down most guards and get around them, get in the paint, make plays, and distribute. Now it's almost like I look at the West Virginia game where Blake had some good moments early on in that game. He also had a couple of bad turnovers, but we didn't see him as much in the second half. I would have liked to have seen a little bit more of him because he's continuing to grow. It's the same thing I say about Jeremiah Tillman, where and Jonte Porter's in this category as well, where every game I feel like they look more and more crisp. They look more and more sharp on both ends of the floor. Blake's big thing, going to the Iowa State game, calling the Emporia State game, seeing him early on, it's been a lot of teachable moments for Konzo Martin, which is why he gets subbed out. It's when he breaks down defensively. It's when he doesn't sprint back in transition, because I think Konzo's trying to coach him early on because he knows how important he is when SEC play hits. Now it's starting to get to that moment where Blake's, I think, going to continue to see quality minutes. He's not much of a scoring guard right now, but I'm okay with that because he's naturally a pass-first point guard, and he's a natural playmaker, great foot speed.
That's what they need, opportunities for other people.
And they need the ball pressure that he brings defensively. That's where I like him more than Jordan. Jordan brings the grit and the toughness, and he fights and scraps. But Blake's the better athlete, and he's got more explosiveness that they're going to have when they go up against guards like Kentucky and Florida and Texas A&M. I mean, my gosh, they got good guard play. So I think Blake's still going to be the best option for this team to break presses, to handle the pressure, to be able to get other guys open. Jordan is just playing at a high level right now because he's given that confidence. He's worked on his game. I think he's improved his shot. And Jordan's going to be a huge piece for this team too. But I still think Blake has got to be the guy when it's crunch time and they need a play, they need to break the press, to handle the ball, to take care of the ball, not turn it over. I still think Blake is going to be that guy, and Jordan's going to probably play a second part to that. So, but again, both so important. Both, I think, playing really well, getting confidence. And to your question, in the North Florida game, I was impressed with Blake. The 7 assists, limited turnovers, making the right reads, and he's a good pocket passer. And what I mean by that is in pick and rolls, he's really good at putting the ball in a shooting pocket or putting the ball right to the rim to go let Jeremiah go get it or go let Jonte go get it. So he sees plays happen before they happen. I always give the Phil Prescient comparison. Phil was that way as a young player. He wasn't much of a scorer, but when he got in the game, it was all create. Get everybody open, get in the paint, knowing that's your strength, and then distribute and find guys going to the rim.
Do we know how bad Terrence Phillips is hurt? He limped out of that game, and they said that he had a brace on his right foot. Mm-hmm. Only played a minute in this last game.
We'll see. I mean, he might be limited tonight. I'm not sure if he's practiced or not. Obviously, it's just been a few days. I'm assuming he has not. So I would be doubtful that they could use him in maybe limited minutes. We'll see. I think that'll be kind of a game time decision. But I also think, getting him healthy is important because, we've talked about guys, we talk about Blake, but Terrence still gives this team good minutes. He can. I know he's had, moments where he's had turnover issues and he makes compound mistakes that I think sometimes limits his minutes.
He can score, though, off the bench.
But yeah, he can. He can score. He's still a leader of this basketball team. This is a guy that's a returner. He's a junior. I think the locker room respects him. The coaches like him. Players like him. We've talked about what he is off the floor too in the community. So, he's a good player. He's a good guy to have around the program, and he's going to be important for this team. No question. He's got to get healthy.
So another guy I wanted to ask you about, because we spent a lot of time talking about the starters and obviously, Tillman and Porter, and it's been terrific to see, because it seems like for so long Missouri needed bigs, skilled bigs. Yep. And now they've got Tillman and Porter. Even guys like Barnett and Puryear, to see how they've developed. But Reed Nicko was a guy that was a Kim Anderson recruit, and didn't he have double hip surgery out of high school? And so you didn't know what you were going to get out of him. And say, for instance, in this last game, 12 points and 5 rebounds. But there have been times when he's been able to come into games and give Konzo Martin some quality minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And so, look, he can't teach size, 6'10", 250. He's a big kid, and he seems to have a little bit of fire when he doesn't back down. When you get him going off the bench, he can come in and actually help the basketball team. Is he to the point where can he give the team, if needed, if one of the bigs get in foul trouble, can he give Konzo 10 or 12 minutes off the bench now that the level of competition is going to be consistently good from this point on?
Yeah, absolutely. He has built up a lot of trust with me I don't know what the coach is, because he's been so efficient, and he looks like a different player this year. I think he's made the jump. He's healthy. He's had, you know, he's rolled his ankle. He's had ankle issues. But he has played so much stronger in the paint and in the interior. He doesn't get pushed around as much as he did as a freshman.
Because there are times that Missouri, he would have been the starting five for Missouri, and they would have asked him to play 20 to 25 minutes.
Absolutely.
And it's kind of funny. We talk about, can he give us 8 to 10 minutes? It's a luxury for a kid that size that does have some skills that they don't need him to do more. You know, it's a different world.
And when he goes in the game, he knows his role, too. He knows that he's got to defend. He's got to rebound. He's got to be able to, you know, use that body in the paint to check guys out, box out. Hard hedge, you know, he does bring that lunch pail mentality. I mean, he's, you know, soft spoken, humble, just plays hard, and he's getting limited minutes, but those minutes, they're still productive minutes. And that's what I say on air too, with young players that don't start and they're in a role. When you get in the game, you can't go into a game thinking, well, I gotta go score and that's how I'm gonna earn minutes. That's not how it works. You go in and you earn minutes by playing hard, doing your assignment, executing the game plan, defending and guarding first and foremost. And then, yes, when he gets opportunities at the rim, it's usually off offensive rebounds or Blake getting in the paint and distributing and dishing off. He keeps the ball high, and when he was young, he'd always bring the ball down towards his knees, and he'd get the ball, you know, deflected, and guards would dig at him, and, you know, he'd get fouls and things like that, and he just seemed a little uncoordinated, and he wasn't really polished. And now he's starting to trust his strength, and they work on it every day in practice. Again, taking habits from practice, taking it to the game. So what I watched early on in the year is they use the dummy pad, they beat on him in practice, and he's starting to get more and more comfortable handling contact, embracing contact, absorbing contact, and then going up and not going in, you know, helter-skelter and playing fast. He slows himself down, and he's got the ability to finish. We've seen him have so many, you know, like the game I called, I think he had 3 3-point plays. Because he's just strong and having the ability to use the glass and use both hands, that's all development. And he's still improving. And like you said, you can't teach size. And at some point, they're going to need him to play 12, 15 minutes. Jeremiah might have foul trouble. You know, knock on wood, you know, you don't want to see a rolled ankle. Things happen during the course of a basketball season. You've got to be able to depend on your bench. And the only way you're going to get minutes is if Konzo and that staff trust you to put you in the game. And you can go execute, and you can go play your role and do your part. And he's done that, and he's earned that. And I think it's a testament to him and how he's worked. It's a testament to the strength staff, because I think he is so much better on the low block, and he's so much more comfortable absorbing that contact when he shied away from contact as a freshman. So I think, you know, it's just good to see first and foremost for the team, because they're gonna need him. They're gonna have to depend on him, and they got to have him be able to play both ends of the floor on offense and defense.
You know, something else that was interesting from this last win by Stephen F. Austin against LSU, they lost their leading scorer in the second half due to a concussion. I guess he was in concussion protocol, but he's expected to be back tonight. Sophomore guard Kevin Harris, who leads the team with 16.9 points per game, he missed the second half at LSU, and they were still able to overcome that and win the game. And as I mentioned, we kind of got to know, or at least the nation got to know, Stephen F. Austin those 3 good years, really good years, that they had under Brad Underwood. Now they're 10-1. They won at LSU this past game. Kyle Keller is the head coach, and this is the guy that he's coached at Oklahoma State. He's coached at Texas A&M. He coached at Kansas, Kyle Keller. Mm-hmm. And so tell me about what you expect from Stephen F. Austin and their head coach, Kyle Keller, and what type of basketball team we're going to see tonight. Is it a lot different than what we saw with Brad Underwood during those 3 years? How much of a different team are they?
I think Brad Underwood's style and grit and that toughness and blue-collar mentality, I think that's still part of this team. One of the things that you can expect tonight from this Stephen F. Austin team is they shoot the three-point shot really well. They got 4 guys that shoot it over 40%. 3 of them are over 45, and they share the basketball. And one of the things I think you can say about this team, and they're going to dominate the Southland Conference, but they are that team that makes the extra pass. They don't have just one guy that they just throw the ball to and isolate you. They move the ball, they screen, they cut. It's going to be a different type of game for this Missouri team. It's going to be similar and ways to West Virginia, but it's also a type of offense that they haven't seen yet this year, where I think the spacing that Stephen F. Austin has is going to be a tough assignment. Again, I talk about guard play. It's a big assignment for Blake and guys like Jordan Geist and Barnett and Cassius to keep the ball in front of them. They have to continue to keep the ball out of the paint. Don't put fouls on your big men, and then guard the three-point line. Chase guys off screens. Chase guys off the three-point line. Contest everything. In the LSU game, I went back and watched the film. Stephen F. Austin had a lot of spot-ups, and a lot of that was off of the defense sinking in, and Stephen F. Austin would have kickouts, and there was late closeouts. There wasn't high hands, and as Mark Jackson says, hand down, man down. And you got to close out with a high hand and contest. Don't foul. But if they play solid defense, if they play it to the principle, they'll be fine. You know, I'm not worried about this game. It's a different team. They're a good team. But I still think Missouri's the better team, and I still trust Missouri in the fact that they have been really consistent defensively. They've still, you know, blocked shots. They've rebounded. They've gotten steals. They're jumping passing lanes. They're playing a much different brand of basketball than we've seen the last 3 years. So to your question about Stephen F. Austin, I think there'll be some differences in the fact of what they do offensively, but I still think they're going to come in fearless, gritty, blue collar, and they're gonna if they come in and make shots early on and Missouri lets them hang around into the second half, that's when I'll get nervous. Missouri's gotta come and make the first punch tonight, early on in that first four 10-minute period.
I tweeted out a story, Jake. You can read it if you want to go to my Twitter account at SSJWHB. Obviously it's heartbreaking, but it's just unbelievable when you read about it. We all remember the tragic plane crash back in 2001. Mm-hmm. It's been almost 17 years. They killed 10 people, including 8 members of the Oklahoma State basketball program. Well, I mentioned that Kyle Keller coached at Oklahoma State. So on board the team's plane that night was Nate Fleming, a walk-on player for the Cowboys, and it was Kyle Keller's younger cousin. Keller, then a 33-year-old assistant on Eddie Sutton's staff, was responsible for Fleming joining the team a year earlier. And so on January 27, 2001, the Oklahoma State contingent took 3 separate flights back from a game at Colorado. Keller, the head coach now, Stephen F. Austin, he was supposed to be on the flight that crashed. But instead, before takeoff, he switched seats mm-hmm. with his cousin Fleming. He arrived in Stillwater safe and sound. And as Dave Matter, it's a really interesting article, that horrible night will forever be part of Keller's identity. And he did an interview and actually talked about it, and he talked about how he's given up all of his survivor guilt. He still has a good relationship with his aunt and uncle and cousins, and I mean I can't even imagine that, but and so that's he went through that, and that's his tie to the Oklahoma State tragedy, and
I'll never forget. I mean, having played in the Big 12, going to Gallagher, Iowa, they had the tribute right when you walk in the front doors, and I was a freshman, and we got in the night before. We always went in early, obviously day early, and we just shoot around. We had maybe an hour at the gym, and it was powerful walking in there, and our whole team gathered by there and had a prayer. And I remember talking to an Oklahoma State, it was a manager that was there kind of putting the balls out and putting the water out for us, and he had seen us kind of around that memorial and came in. I started talking to him just about that, and he brought up this story about, you know, Coach Keller and about how they changed seats, and you know, you talk about a second chance and you know, getting opportunity to be a head coach and not taking any day for granted, and you know, it's that always sticks with me every time I walk in Gallagher Iba Arena, though. But you can't not walk past that and just stop and look and just remember those unfortunate lives lost on that day.
And Kyle Keller had 9 years as an assistant at Oklahoma State. Then he was an assistant from 2008 until 2011 under Bill Self at Kansas, and then spent 5 years under Billy Kennedy at Texas A&M before getting the job, the head coaching position at Stephen F. Austin, where he will coach tonight against the Missouri Tigers at Mizzou Arena, 8 o'clock on ESPNU. Back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB. All right. I did not want to do this, but I'll do this for Jake.
Yeah. For me?
Yeah. For you.
You hear what I'm doing for you?
Yes.
I don't remember this, maybe. But I'm sure you and the boys do.
It's wonderful.
It's from the KC concert.
Where'd you get that at?
Magic.
I may or may not have a bootleg CD of that. It was the still the best concert that I can... It may be the best live show that I've been to in the last decade, maybe. When Jack White was at the Midland, played all the White Stripes stuff, played... And I love this last CD. It was just fantastic. My boys were there, and Jake was kind of there, and it was great all the way around, you know.
Kind of there.
Kind of there. Okay, so physically present. I didn't want to do this, but I'll do it.
For me?
So Kobe Bryant's jerseys, 8 and 24, retired.
Plural.
Last night. And I was watching a lot of different stuff, highlights from his career, and that's Jake's favorite player. I'm no Kobe Bryant fan, but Jake loved him, loves him.
Mamba.
We'll always
Mamba
love him.
Out.
Mamba out.
Right.
Phil Jackson still can't get it right, but.
So. Kobe Bryant. Right? He's one of the best ever. There's no doubt about that. First of all.
He's a top 10.
Well, I don't know. Jared Sutton. You're an NBA scout. You love the NBA.
What's the question now? Is Kobe Bryant?
So Kobe, let's start here with this question. Who had the better career, Kobe Bryant or Tim Duncan?
Oh, man.
I love to throw that out there because it makes Jake mad.
Whew. I'm a big Tim Duncan fan, too.
Are you absolutely sold that it's Kobe, or do you debate?
I mean, it's Kobe because I like Kobe better.
That's a tough debate. I mean, I can see, I would probably say, actually, Tim Duncan, just because of...
If you could pick one player to start your franchise with, Kobe or Tim Duncan?
I'll go Tim Duncan.
Jake?
I mean, I respect that because Tim Duncan is probably the best four ever.
And
I mean, he's probably
the best ever
at his position.
I picked Tim Duncan just because of the culture factor of his impact is still on the Spurs. And he had Popovich. So
right.
That's a part of it, too.
Sure.
That's part of it, too. But, man, that's tough. Like, I would take Kobe, too, but I'll give the edge to Duncan if we're comparing.
Somebody, I heard, they never won fewer than 50 games.
Yeah.
Ever.
Even when
Tim
the lockout
Duncan's career.
Season.
Mm-hmm. Ever.
Every year he won 50-plus games. Every year in his career.
By the way, did you guys see that Allen Iverson was there last
night? Yeah.
At Kobe's jersey.
Everybody was
That was great. So the Sixers tweeted out the clip of them going at each other when they played, and I'd forgot those two hated each other. So that was pretty cool to see Allen Iverson there and gave him a big hug there after he got the jerseys retired. That was cool. That kind of made the night for me.
It was cool to see Kerr and Durant. You know, they're obviously playing Golden State, but they during halftime, that's when they did the ceremony and he gave the speech, and it was cool to see them.
Yeah.
They came out and watched, and you know, that was, even though Durant stuck a dagger in the Lakers' heart in overtime. But
Magic Johnson had some strong words, too, for Kobe. I thought that spoke a lot to just kind of the player and the legacy that Kobe's left, not just on the Lakers, but on L.A. as well. And I loved what Kobe said, too. Like, Kobe's had been a totally different person since he's retired. You know, he was such a relentless, ruthless competitor that now that he's retired, he's kind of, I think he's taken a step back and looked, and, you know, he's got his three girls now. I know he's very dialed. He takes his girls to the UConn women's games, and he's starting to kind of get them involved in the women's side of basketball. But I loved what he said last night about hard work, you know, getting up early, staying late at night, and to, you know, enjoy the grind and be in the moment. And, you know, that's the dream. That's what he kind of talked about. He was talking about, you know, it's not winning championships. It's not, you know, what's at the end of the road. It's living in the moment and being, you know, enjoying the journey. And I think Kobe did that. And that was really cool to hear him touch on that.
Greatest Laker of all time. Magic Johnson.
Yeah.
Jake?
I think Magic.
Yeah, it's Magic. I don't wanna... It's Magic.
Yeah. Which is why last night was so, I think, Magic coming out and saying he's best player to wear the purple and yellow. That was a pretty bold statement, especially coming from a guy like him who's, you know.
Well, I mean, Magic was just a freak. You've never seen anything like him.
Do you now think?
But, like, Abdul-Jabbar and like was
Worthy.
Worthy. Those teams, too.
Right.
Because I've told you this before. I would give anything to go back and live in the 80s during the Larry Bird Magic era of basketball.
80 to 87, matchups, you know.
Those documentaries, years. Just keep pumping those documentaries
out.
Yeah, the 30
for
30
is fantastic.
I lived in the 80s. I'd like to be an adult in the 80s for various reasons. I think there's some.
Right.
Have you guys seen the Magic Bird HBO documentary?
I watch all that stuff. I can't get enough of that stuff.
I had forgot about the Bird back issues and how just bad, awful that was for him. It's sad, too, because he was a legend, too. We can talk about that.
So are you... Jake, are you still fighting the fight of Kobe versus LeBron? Have you given that up? Is LeBron?
Yeah, I mean, you keep making me do this.
No, I'm asking you where you're at.
You know where I'm at.
Now's the time for.
Feel like you're just.
No, we can't bring it up because Nate's not here.
Well,
it's only better.
We're bringing it because Nate's not here. Because I can get an honest answer.
Yeah, I gave that up when he won.
So did you? I mean, I
gave it up when he won. When he won his last championship.
All right,
I gave it up.
All right,
it's fine. All right, I mentioned earlier that all three local schools have at least some decent competition before they start conference play. We've gone through Missouri taking on Stephen F. Austin tonight, but then you've got three games I want to ask you about when we come back. Kansas has got to play against Stanford out in Sacramento coming up on Thursday. Tomorrow night, Kansas State plays at Washington State, and then, of course, Saturday is the Missouri-Illinois game. So three reasonable tests in the non-con for the three local schools. I'll get your thoughts on those after this with Jared Sutton on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Hope that tonight is not, you know, you guys know that, you know, if you do the work, you work hard enough, dreams come true. You know that, we all know that. But hopefully what you get from tonight is the understanding that those times when you get up early and you work hard, those times when you stay up late and you work hard, those times when you don't feel like working, you're too tired, you don't want to push yourself, but you do it anyway. That is actually the dream. That's the dream. It's not the destination, it's the journey. And if you guys can understand that, then what you'll see happen is that you won't accomplish your dreams. Your dreams won't come true. Something greater will. And if you guys can understand that, then I'm doing my job as a father. Thank you guys so much. I love you. Mamba out.
Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Okay, final tests for the local schools before conference play begins. We saw Kansas get a one-point victory over Nebraska. They hammered Omaha last night. Now they play against Stanford in Sacramento Thursday night before they open conference play at Texas, almost here. So your thoughts on Kansas as they prepare to take on Stanford Thursday night?
Yeah, so good bounce back win at Nebraska for KU. That was a tough road test. Found a way. I think Bill Self learned a lot about his team. He's talked a lot about how they've been so soft. I thought they showed some toughness going to Lincoln, hostile environment, pulling out a win. Score 109 points last night. Svi shoots the lights out. They have five guys in double figures. That's good to see. You know, they put a team away. I thought they defended really well last night. Saw a little bit of that game. Stanford is not as good as Stanford teams in the past. I like KU in this game, but it's a road game, neutral site game. But I think this is, again, a game where Kansas just has to keep building, keep focusing in on the defensive end. They can get that type of performance they got from Svi last night where, again, he's a 3-and-D guy. He can shoot it from anywhere. He's an underrated defender, I would say, because as I've told you guys before, I think he can guard when he's consistent enough. When he brings it every night, I think it helps him, especially at the position he plays, at the wing position. But building to Texas, because Texas is their first game on the Big 12 slate. Big 12 is good. Man, it's good. TCU, Texas Tech, You got Baylor. I think they got six teams in the top 25 right now.
West Virginia looks good.
West Virginia's solid. We've seen West Virginia, obviously, against Missouri. So, you know, a game that Kansas should win at Stanford, but it is a road test. But keep building. Building blocks, plateaus. Get it when, you know, kind of start. It's good to get firing on all cylinders before you hit league play. I think last night was a good game for them at home. They put them away. It was a big win. They got everybody involved, got the confidence going. Now they go back on the road, another test, and then they can, you know, advance into Big 12 play against a really good Texas team that's going to bring the length with Bamba, who's, you know, top five pick.
Oklahoma beat West Virginia or beat Wichita State and Oklahoma State. Nice win over Florida State. So a couple of more nice non-con wins for the Big 12. All right, Kansas State, after they lost to Frank Haith in Tulsa in the Wildcat Classic, they beat SEMO 89-71. Now tomorrow night they play at Washington State.
Yeah, so you know, good bounce back game for them against SEMO, but you look ahead again, Washington State on the road. Washington State's not bad. You know, I think if Kansas State with them, it's if they you look go back to the Tulsa game, like they just don't shoot it well. They come out flat. They get out rebound, get dominated on the glass. Dean Wade, you know, that's the guy I look to. Dean Wade, their guard play, they got good guards, but Dean Wade is the guy. When the offense goes through him, when he's aggressive, when he's efficient, when he's stepping out, shooting a three-point shot, when they go through him, he's a really good passer on the low block. They got to get going early in this game on the road. I think that if they lose this game, it's going to be because they come out flat, they don't start fast, and Dean Wade isn't a factor. If he's a factor, if he's scoring, if he's rebounding the ball, they'll have a good chance to win this game. But again, you know, they open up with Iowa State. Iowa State's hot right now. They're winning games. So once you get in Big 12 play, we talk about Kansas State and can they make the tournament. They can't have, you know, hiccups like they had against Tulsa. And this is a game that they need to win. They need to go on the road. They need to beat this Washington State team. And again, build confidence and really start to believe in themselves. Because once they get in Big 12 play, they've struggled in games on the road in Big 12. They have those hiccup games. They just can't afford those. And that starts with confidence. That starts with their main guys that are leading. And guys like Dean Way, that's who I circle. They got to be good.
Okay, finally, as we mentioned, Missouri tonight against Stephen F. Austin, they are 10-1. But then Saturday, the bragging rights game against Illinois. You just tell me what's it like to play in that game, to be a part of that atmosphere.
I get goosebumps just thinking about it. It's my favorite game of the year. I go back to my freshman year going out. It was an hour and a half before the game. It was shoot around, and the whole bottom bowl was pretty much filled. And the electricity, it splits right down the middle for those that were at the MUKU game. And at Sprint Center, it's very similar to that, where it's like orange and it's black, and you split it. And this year's going to be so much different than years past. It's going to be very similar to when I played because of the Jeremiah Tillman factor. I watched Illinois play against UNLV, and then I went back and watched their tape against Maryland, which if you want to learn about Illinois, go watch that Maryland game. They were down 19.5, came back, sent it to overtime. They got a couple good players. Missouri should win the bragging rights game. They should be favored. But in those type of games, it does not matter the records. It doesn't matter the talent. Those games are always close, so you can always expect a close game. Illinois will bring it, but I'm excited for Jeremiah Tillman, a chance to go up against, you know, East St. Louis kid, was committed originally to Illinois. It's a chance for him, and like, I don't know if you guys read that article, he wants to beat Illinois by 30.
Yeah.
I don't think that's going to happen, but I think they'll be favored. I think they have a chance to win that
game. Jeremiah Tillman. And look, we growing up, part of it was the coaches' personalities of Norm Stewart and Lou Henson. You look forward to that. The coaching matchup, if they stick around, and I think Konzo's sticking around, or Brandon Underwood's found his landing spot, Konzo Martin and Brandon Underwood is going to be not only on the court for the next several seasons, but recruiting head-to-head for a lot of players. I love it.
Yeah. Well, and those two guys, they are the most energetic coaches when you watch them on the bench. Their teams defensively and the level of toughness they bring, it's how their coaches are. It's how Brad Underwood is, it's how Konzo is. They're tough, blue-collar guys, and their teams play like that. Watching Illinois against Maryland and the comeback they made in that game, that's strictly off of just being relentlessly tough, and that's what I think the identity is for Missouri. So, to your point, I mean, years to come, this is the bragging rights game. If you haven't had a chance to go, put it on the calendar. It's a terrific time around the holiday season. St. Louis is always buzzing around downtown. Just walking into that facility and that building, even as when I got done playing the first year after, when Lawrence Bowers was a senior, going to that game as even a fan, It is such an incredible environment, so I really urge you to go.
And you know what? And this game's going to be used in recruiting, too.
Maybe absolutely.
More than ever.
No question. Especially for the Midwest ties and St. Louis. It's St. Louis such a hotbed. It's going to be huge.
Jared Sutton, thank you so much for the time, man. We appreciate it.
Thanks, guys. Happy holidays. Merry Christmas to everybody as well. Tell your son happy birthday.
I will.
I'm bummed I'll be missing his 21st. It's crazy to say he's 21. Oh, that's boy. Nuts.
I'm older by the minute. Yep. Hey, Jared Sutton, and tell all of your family to have a very Merry Christmas. Happy holidays. Love the Suttons.
All right.
And you know what? We love you.
Thank you.
That is a Jared Sutton. We'll be right back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB.